All right. Hey, New Life. Welcome back. So glad to have you tuning in with us today. I tell you what, if you're watching live on Facebook right now, Sunday morning, why don't you just go ahead and drop a hello in the chat. We would love to know that you're tuning in with us. And for the rest of you that are tuning in online, maybe later in the week or later in life, hey, we welcome you. And this is part five of our Everyday Disciple series. And so, of course, you can get caught up on all of this Everyday Disciple content by going to newlifeforkokomo.org, and really all of our messages are archived online there. This is a really, really great series for our church right now in growing the discipleship of the church, because here's what we know, is that discipleship is the greatest call of the Christian life, but also discipleship is the hardest work of the church. So something that is the greatest call for all of us is also very difficult to do as well, because of its lifelong nature of discipleship. So what is discipleship? We've talked about discipleship in a few different ways. We know that being a disciple means to be a follower. It means letting somebody else lead. It means being a learner or a student. But I would also wrap up discipleship as this. Discipleship is a process that leads to becoming more like Jesus. When you think about the early disciples, when Jesus called them to come follow him, they left their whole lives behind, they followed Jesus, and became more and more like their rabbi, their teacher. That was their goal in life. And actually, when Jesus chooses his disciples, and when he chooses you and he chooses me, he does it because he believes in you. He believes in us. He believed in the first disciples. But also he believes that you will become like him. You will do the works like that Jesus did, and you maybe even greater things than him. Look what it says in John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. This is Jesus speaking. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And so the purpose of discipleship, listen to me, church, is that we become more and more like the one we're following. And you're not following me. We are all following Jesus, becoming more like him. And we will, too, do the works that Jesus did. And he believes that his church will even do greater things than him. Come on, that gives me hope today for what we're doing, where we're going. But discipleship is tough. It's the toughest work of the church, but it's the greatest call of our lives. Because look at this, discipleship requires time, it requires commitment, vulnerability, and it requires accountability. And honestly, if we are to be truthful, we would say that none of those things are necessarily come naturally to all of us. Naturally, sometimes it's difficult to give of your time. It's difficult to commit. It can become difficult to be vulnerable. It's also difficult to be held accountable. But this is what discipleship requires. And when you apply yourself to the process of discipleship, you come out looking more like Jesus, doing the works of Jesus. And because of what I want you to remember is that living this life of Christianity is so much more than when you pray a prayer and ask them into your heart. That was just the beginning of a journey, and discipleship is the journey. And the more and more that we can disciple the people of the church and get you on a pathway following Jesus every day of your life, we will change the world. And so I want you, now look at what it says in Luke chapter 9. It says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must what? Must deny themselves. This is tough work. And take up their cross how often? Daily, and follow me. Daily. This is why we're talking about being an everyday disciple. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me actually saves it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very soul? My dad used to say it like this, how much is a dead millionaire worth? Nothing. So what good does it do to gain the whole world? What good does it do to give all of our time away to career and to making a dollar? What good does it do when you could gain the whole world but still lose your soul? So everyday discipleship, it is about denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following him. So we know that discipleship is important. We know that that we are called to be disciples, followers of Jesus, being made to look and be more like him in our everyday life. So why is it so hard? Well, sometimes it's because Jesus, he didn't come just to make our normal, selfish, sinful life a little bit better. No. He came to radically transform life as we know it, to make it completely new. And so, but there are challenges in today's modern times to this discipleship. So over the course of these next two parts, we're going to talk about the 10 challenges in modern day discipleship. There are, if we can expose some of the challenges, then we can be purposeful in our pursuit of Jesus. So we're going to cover 5 of these challenges today. And because if you know me, I usually like to give you 3 things. So I'm going to stretch it, and I'm going to give you 5 things. Next week, I'll give you 5 more challenges to modern-day discipleship. So let's jump right into it today. And the first challenge of modern-day discipleship is consumerism. It is consumerism. You see, especially here in America, we're such consumers of goods and products and services. I mean, anywhere you go, think about it. Our lives are constantly being marketed by industries all around the nation. If you get on your phone, you're getting ads. We're so used to our lives being spammed by billboards, by mail, by email. Now we're getting ads and things in our text messages, phone calls, ads on every video or article that you read. We're constantly being spammed because we are consumers of goods, products, and services. But the problem is if we treat church like we treat the grocery store, or we treat the different brands that we prefer, well, then we cheapen what church is, and it affects our ability to be effective. Consumerism has people wanting God to come and be in their story rather than them seeing themselves in his story. You see, coming into relationship with God is us entering into his story, not saying, okay, God, come into my normal life and make it a little better, as if God is somehow a consumer product that we have bought into and now will make our lives better. No. God is a relationship we move into, and we mold and shape our life around him and the kingdom principles, and life, it is better because we make a difference. And so many times what consumerism asks in the church is, consumerism asks the question, well, what can God do for me? Or it asks the question, hello church, what do you have for me and my family? How are you going to serve us? What ideas in this place do I find most appealing? Or what life choices do I prefer? And so I'm going to figure out my personal life choices, and then I'm going to go find the product of God that suits my life choices the best. And this is consumerism. But the early church, they were not worried about being consumerisms, about being customers of church. The early church never saw it as consuming. They only saw it as contributing. That church was something to contribute to. Church was something to become. They didn't ask the question, what am I getting out of this? What am I getting out of this? Am I getting fed? They were asking the question, how can I be a part of this great movement? How can I be a part of this gospel? And they asked the second question, do I consider other people more significant than myself? So some of the things that are leading to consumerism is the fact that there are so many local choices, that we then approach it like products, services, and goods when we go church to church looking, how do I fit into that story? Or how does that fit into mine? So Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we read it earlier. It specifically says, whoever wants to be my disciple will deny themselves. Because to lay down consumerism in your faith, you have to deny your wants and your needs, and you have to align yourself to the word of God and to the kingdom of God. So if you want to be my disciple, Jesus says, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. If you want to live, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. That doesn't sound like consumerism, does it? And so this is what I would say, is that we have to become aware of any consumerism in us, any consumerism in you, and choose now to be a contributor. Church is not a place, it is not a product, it's not a place of goods and services, although we do good and we provide services. No, church is a place for you to be a contributor. You don't come in and out like you do Target. You come in, you become family, you become a contributor of this great thing called the local church. So the first challenge is consumerism. The mindset that we have as consumers out in the marketplace in this world today, we have to lay down our wants, needs, and desires when we come into the kingdom of God. We must become contributors. The second challenge to modern-day discipleship is the idea of going to church rather than being the church. And this is very similar now to consumerism, isn't it? Because going to church can become more like for our own entertainment. Or we go to church because it gives us an event to do. And it feels like we're doing good for ourselves. But when we are a people that are a going to church kind of people, well, then the music better be the way I like it. The preaching better be entertaining. I don't want to be bored. And the people better be nice, but not too clingy. But rather, we have to start being the church and becoming the church, contributing to church. The idea of going to church has led to compartmentalizing church in our lives. That going to church just becomes something that we do on a Sunday morning. It's a Sunday morning activity rather than it being a part of our everyday lives. But discipleship, the reason why this is a challenge to discipleship is because discipleship is not a one-day-a-week event. Discipleship is something we give our lives for. So when I go to church, here's the challenge of this, is when we go to church to experience God, that we don't expect to experience God anywhere else. Moreover, when we go to church to serve God, we don't expect to serve God anywhere else. But by becoming the church, we do it every day. So this is what I say, being the church is an everyday activity. An everyday activity. So going to church to experience God means I don't expect to experience him anywhere else. No, that's because, man, we are the church every day. And actually what I like to say on Sunday mornings when we dismiss from here, I like to say, and now church is not dismissed. It's actually just now beginning. Go and do church and be the church tomorrow at work and throughout the week. So we have to stop coming to church. We got to start being the church. The third challenge of modern-day discipleship is the breakdown of family. It's the breakdown of family, the individual family units. As the families have struggled, there's been a breakdown in the scriptural mandate for the primary source of discipleship. So the breakdown of family, it has robbed our modern times of Scripture's primary discipleship strategy. And do you know what it is? The primary discipleship strategy are parents. You as a parent are your child's primary leaders in the faith. And so when we are seeing more and more breakdown in the families in modern times, we're seeing the primary source of children's spiritual leaders being absent from their lives. And also because of the breakdown of family, one's understanding of God's love can become crippled by the brokenness they see in their families. You see, because families are to be an example of what the love of God looks like. And so when that model, that example is broken, then we have a hard time relating to the love of a heavenly father because of the absence of an earthly one. We have a hard time understanding the love of God as a positive figure in our life because many have lacked to have authorities in their life that they trust. And so it's hard to come to know a loving, trusting, faithful God when their experience in their home life has been one of distrust and brokenness. So the health of family leadership greatly impacts the health of the local church. So this is what I would say, is that may our homes be a place where families can experience God on a regular basis. Come on, don't you want that for your home and your family? That in our homes is the place that we will see some of the greatest moves of God when parents are leading their children and children are honoring their parents, and together that discipleship is taking place, where real life conversations are being had, difficult conversations are being had in the safety of our homes, where children have the freedom to ask questions about their faith, ask questions about things that they see in culture, and parents have the tenacity to lead their children in this way instead of trying to farm out the responsibility of leading their kids to pastors and teachers and coaches. Come on, parents, I want something to stir up what's inside of you today, and that you too would make it your life's vision that your homes will be a place where your family can experience God on a regular basis and help our children thrive in their faith for years and years and years to come, for generations to come. Okay, a fourth challenge to modern day discipleship is that style has become our idea of substance. Because the reality is if you learn the style, you can look like a disciple without actually growing as one. So you can fit in, you can do your thing, you can learn how to be a Christian, you can learn how to act like one, but never really grow as one. But here's the thing, the pursuit of style, it shortens the attention span necessary to really achieve depth because we're going after style. So much of true spiritual growth is always accomplished in hidden places, in unseen places. Like true spiritual growth happens when we personally decide in the quietness of our own personal lives. We invite God into the quiet times of our lives, the hidden parts of our lives, and we can really continue to grow deep in God, which goes far beyond trying to measure up to a style of church or a style of Christianity. It is actually personal and intimate and real. It's authentic. But then there's the style where it becomes our idea of substance, in that we believe real church looks like this. I mean, you've heard these, if you've been in church in any amount of time, you've been a part of some of the church feuds or arguments about style. Well, real church is when somebody can stand up in the middle of service and give their prayer requests out loud. Or real church happens when the music is like this. Or real church happens when the preaching is this long. Or real church happens, and you fill in the blank. These arguments about style have crippled the church for so long. The style of music, style of preaching, or even the style of our facilities has been a stumbling block for far too long, and it is a challenge for the modern church in the way of discipleship. But we've got to lay down our preferences. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, deny yourself and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. And the things like music and style, it is all negotiable. But what's non-negotiable is the word of God. There are non-negotiables in prayer, in worship, in sharing our faith. There's non-negotiables in being unified, in loving, and full of mercy and grace. Those are non-negotiables. But if it is a style issue that you prefer preaching a certain way, you prefer music a certain way, you prefer the facility to look a certain way, it's all negotiable, and it should never stand in the way of the discipleship of the church. Not now and not ever. So here's my thought on this, is when our measure of substance is based on style, we risk achieving depth. That when we get caught up on the style of things in church, we risk the places that God is asking us to go. And I would rather follow God than to follow style. Wouldn't you? And so let's not let those things plague us anymore. Here's the fifth challenge. This is the last one for today. We'll do the next five next week. The challenge of modern day discipleship is having sufficient time for discipleship. Time is a hot commodity, isn't it? There are so many things that require our time. Work and children and marriage and our kids' extracurricular activities and maybe some of our activities and friendships. All of these things require so much of our time that people have less and less time available to do things that are the most important. So available hours to engage in the ministry life of the local church are continuing to decline. Many people believe they are too busy to establish personal spiritual disciplines in their life. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? So the challenge is that here is also that there are many, many, many options for leisure time these days. Our leisure time gets easier and easier to access, whatever it is that you like to do. But yet, people still have a hard time finding sufficient time for discipleship. And I would say the difference is where you lay your priorities. So we must make it a life priority to stay connected to your church. You have to stay connected to your church. You have to stay connected to your faith. You have to make spiritual disciplines an important part of your life in order to achieve depth, in order to follow Jesus and become more and more like him, because that is the goal of discipleship. It is a process that leads us to becoming more and more like Jesus. It requires time and commitment, vulnerability, and it takes accountability. And I welcome you and invite you to journey with God in this way. Let me pray for you. God, I just pray that as we continue in this series, that, Lord, we are raising up everyday disciples. Lord, that our faith is not just going to be a hobby. Our faith is never going to just be in name only. But God, we are going to be true disciples of you each and every day. We want to grow. God, that we would be a church that are doing the things that you do, because it's who you are, is what you've called us to be. God, we take the challenge of the greatest call of our life to be disciples. God, we take the challenge that the hardest work of the church is discipleship. And God, we want to do the hard things to lay a foundation, to build a legacy of believers that will serve you now and forevermore. And we want to raise up generations and generations of young people that will serve you and love you and make a difference in our world. God, may Kokomo be different because of the disciples that are being developed in your church. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.